The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. You're listening to the Gunslinger Hour, brought to you from behind the Iron Curtain in Radio Free California. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Gunslinger Hour right here on
KRLA.
That's us. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
Well, it's almost that time, guys.
Whoa, what a week leading up to
4 months
day.
Ago, we were saying, man, auction's over.
We laughed about it.
So long, and it's already 6 days away.
6 days.
Less than
back, relax.
Man, oh man, oh man.
I saw the timer, like, clicking down.
Yeah.
It's like,
next Sunday. Next Sunday's auction, we're going to start at 9 a.m., so get there early, because if you get there at noon, you're going to miss the first 300 lots. We have a whole bunch. We have 700 and something lots to do, and we only have so many hours to get them done. And we're
That's
gonna
a
be,
lot of lots.
Yeah.
A whole lot of lots.
Lots of lots.
Yeah. Punny guys.
Hey.
Anyway, so we'll get into that in a little bit. Let me give you a quick update on what's going on with the new store. We have got a new location for the Glendora store. We're not closing. We're just moving. We're going to 1141 West Alasta, which is now Route 66. It's on the corner of Barranca and Alasta in the Stater Brothers Shopping Center.
Find us on Alasta.
Yeah, I mean, this. Yeah.
Hey, was that too far of a reach?
Yeah, that was pretty bad. The store is about half built because I can't move the guns over
until
we get the new FFL, and we can't get the new FFL until we get all the stuff over. And moving a gun store is kind of like trying to fit.
Whatever analogy you're going to go with, it's going to be terrible.
It's going to be, it's not going to be good enough. No, it's kind of like finding a needle in a stack of needles. How's that?
It's like finding a needle in a stack of porcupines.
There you go.
Have you ever seen a stack of porcupines?
Twice.
They don't stack porcupines.
Oh, yeah.
Second biggest porcupine
think.
I've ever seen.
Exactly. You don't really
porcupine stacking.
Ah, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so, Sunday, Funny Cars, Ascot Park. Be there.
That too. So we're moving forward. Tomorrow, ATF comes out and gives me. You'll love this. We got a brand new guy. Real nice kid. Talked to him on the phone for about 20 minutes. Very conscientious. Very nice guy. I'm saying that because, you know, Casey's listening. but he's
Sweetheart.
Coming out tomorrow. Apparently, not only when you open a new store, but when you move, they come out and they kind of read you the riot act and tell you how you need to be doing things. And it's like, well, you've been on the job 6 months, and I've been doing this 25 years, so this should be interesting. I don't know how that's going to go, but I'm meeting him tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. And
go easy on
it. It'll go fine.
Oh, yeah. You know, I know how to behave. I've had lessons.
You know, and he's got a clipboard.
Yeah, and he's got a clipboard, and that's what it's all about. So he'll run down the thing. We've been having an issue with the city a little bit. They said all we need to do is fill out a questionnaire and pay the money, and we got our
bada
license.
Bing, bada boom.
And okay, that's how Glendora, I literally could get my license renewed in less than 15 minutes. It was just that streamlined and so quick.
Here's stamp. Thank
so
you very much.
Here we are. We went in, filled out the paperwork, paid the money. You're good. Then I get a note in the email or in the pending file because we have to get a checked off by a city planner, the LA County Fire, the police chief of the city.
So far, you've got
Ladies
nothing
Home and
done.
Garden Society.
I mean,
that is a lot of clipboards, Jeff.
The LA County Fire was a 44 question questionnaire. All 44 were no.
Oh.
So I got that one pretty quickly. We got the zoning done. That's fine. The police, I don't, it's not the police chief, but I believe it's a sergeant. And the sergeant has been out for 2 weeks, and nobody's sure when that person is coming back. So we're kind of dealing with that. Jeez. And then here's the killer, okay?
They really want you to be in business, don't
I mean,
they? Sorry, go
the,
on.
The TI, now what that stands for is tenement improvement or tenant improvement. And they're asking me for, you ready for this? All I'm doing, literally, because, you know, we put the floor down. You don't need a TI for that. We put stuff on the walls. You don't need a TI for that. We're putting the cage across the front, the wrought iron. So you do what are called redheads, right? Into the floor. They're just, you shoot basically bullet nails into the floor, yeah, to sink.
Anchor it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then at the top, you screw it into the wall.
Boom.
They want 4 pages filled out to do this. 4 pages, including an architect's drawing, the architect's signature, the architect's license number, and.
What happens if this is the architect that did the redesign, the guy that said, okay, put 2 nails here and 2 nails here?
Which is me, because, you know, I put the one that's in Glendora up.
Yeah.
We're taking it down and just moving it over. I mean,
it fits.
Really? Yeah.
Good.
I mean, actually, it doesn't, because Glendora is much wider, yeah. So we're just going to cut the ends off. So I guess I'll have to explain how we're
now.
Going, you know, okay, it's called a... grinder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know one of those.
Yeah. And we'll grind them off end to the exact 21.4 inches.
You're going to have to show me the documents on that. Can you videotape your measurements?
City bureaucracies. What can I tell you?
It's like they really, really. I'm opening a business. You'll be the beneficiary of this. Tax revenue will stream into your town.
Yeah.
Will you just. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. So I just. Oh, yeah, yeah. But anyway.
You're going to meet the czar of wrought iron.
Yeah. So so that's what's going on with the store. Yesterday was the Happy Trail Children's Foundation banquet and auction, benefit auction.
Explain what Happy Trails Children Foundation
well,
is.
This
it's a worthwhile cause.
Yeah, this was set up for kids in need from way back by Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. And our good friend Dutch has been running it for, I think, 30 or 40 years, he told me. And get this, this was his last one. He's retired, and this was going to be his last banquet ever. And the poor guy got COVID
and
couldn't come. So he recorded something that they played and, you know, that
sat
was
sat at home hacking and sipping soup through a straw.
I felt so bad for him. So I went up and, I ended up they asked me to MC it. So I did that. And we had the Sons of the Pioneers on after me. We did real good. The crowd was
rough crowd, you know, a little rough.
Sat on their wallets a little bit, but I went out into the crowd a little bit and got
to work them up a little bit.
Yeah, I got them. Want to thank Johnny and Annie for ponying up. They bought a couple of items and most importantly though, our friend Opal Rose came out.
Oh, wonderful!
Yeah, Pack Rat brought her out, and
Opal has been struggling with.
Yes, she's been severely under the weather for quite some time, and Opal, I told Pack Rat to tune in tonight, and I would mention her. So if you guys are listening, you know, prayers are with you. Hope everything comes out well. You look great.
Wonderful.
Yeah, everybody was real happy to see her. Yeah, everybody was real happy to see her, and so that's that. It was a interesting evening. And Sons of the Pioneers, I felt kind of bad because, you know, when I come out and I do, not at my auctions because that's all business, but at these charity things, you got to go out and, you got to make people laugh and do some funny stuff and do that. And so it's kind of a high energy. And then these poor guys come on and they're
cool, clear water.
It's like, settle down out there,
yeah,
folks.
You know, it's like, wow. So, you know. That was
you did a good thing there, Jeff.
I tried and then they came out
and our thoughts go out to Dutch too. Just hope you get better quick.
Yeah,
and all.
So hopefully he gets better. But
wonderful. I saw JJ this morning.
Where
he came? He went out to Panorama.
No
just
kidding.
I wanted to throw that out there too.
Well, good.
Some good to see good friends.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Came out to say hi.
Oh, okay, very good. Well, speaking of friends, we got Richard at the airport. Richard, how are you?
Good evening, you magnificent gunslinger.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good evening.
What can we do for you tonight?
Well, I want to know what is the difference between gunpowder granular and gunpowder flake.
You want to try that one?
That has to do with how it's prepared. The time was all extruded powder, and that helps the burn properties.
What's an extruded?
Cordite is extruded.
Okay.
What that does is that helps them achieve the burn properties that they want. Powder burns at different rates, and that's how you determine the difference. We were talking about this earlier, the difference between, say, a rifle powder and a pistol powder.
Yeah.
Pistol powders tend to burn faster. Rifle powders burn slower, and you can help that process by the form that the powder itself takes.
There you go.
Boom.
Okay, so like a flake powder, are you saying that burns at a greater rate than granulated?
Other things matter. What the components are, how much nitrocellulose there is in it, etc. But as a rule, most pistol powders tend to be a flake powder.
Right. Yeah. Shotgun also.
And pistol and shotgun are often interchangeable.
Yep.
Okay. Very good. All right.
You got a joke for us today, Richard?
Okay. Yeah. Now this one is directed at Mark.
Oh.
And Mark should know this. What does a musician order with his supper, his evening meal?
What does a musician order? Jeff, you're in on this one. What does a musician order with his meal? Well, I can tell you this. The difference between a musician and a pizza is that a pizza can feed a family of four. What is it?
How about a gentleman, like, what kind of bread would a musician want with his meal?
Now I'm hungry, thanks.
Oh, greenbacks, I don't know.
No, a drum roll.
Oh! I'm sorry, you said musician, and you forgot that Jeff and I, being musicians, are both aware that drummers...
What do you call a guy that hangs out with musicians? A drummer.
Oh!
Yeah, okay, all right, Richard, we got to go.
Richard, a drum roll.
We'll talk to you next week. See you later. Okay, this is a live show, folks. If you want to call in, call in.
That's going to be 866-870-5752.
This is the Gunslinger Hour. We'll be back with Rick from the CRPA right after this. Hang on for that.
The little things you say and do make me want to be with you. Right on, it's a crazy feeling, and I know you got me reeling when you say I love you, hooray, Mom.
Jeff, are there any songs you don't know?
No.
All of them.
Welcome back to the Gunslinger Hour right here on
KRLA.
And let's get to our friend, Rick from the CRPA. Rick, how are you?
Good evening.
It's always good to be able to talk to fellow patriots. So thank you, guys. This is the one time of the week I get to talk to fellow patriots.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, a quick question for you, Rick. So next Sunday, you going to be there?
Bated breath.
Hamming.
Oh.
Way to be noncommittal.
Yeah, you know what? It's not a flat-out no. I keep my hopes up.
You realize he deals with politicians all day, every day, right?
Well, yeah, because I would have just said, as far as you know. Oh, man. Okay, so what's going on, Rick?
What is?
Well, this week is kind of the lull before the storm. Basically, what we have is not a whole lot for any of us in the lobbying field to do, because they're now doing their second, third readings and moving bills that were in assembly over to the Senate side to go through the whole committee arguments again, and vice versa. So they're, you know, all the bills I talked about last week are still in play. We're going to be monitoring. We're going to be listening. But pretty much the two people that are going to be the ones to watch are obviously the Speaker of the Assembly and the Speaker of the Senate, because they're going to slam as many things through as they can.
Of course.
Everybody, of course, is still watching the budget, watching all the different ways the governor's trying to spin it and seeing if they can get ground. They haven't got ground on many of those arguments yet. So there may be a chance of knocking some of these bills out on financial issues, but this is where the grind gets really nasty, and we'll run that grind through middle of July, and then they'll go on recess, and then they'll come back for that final grind that we all hate and wince when that happens. So this is kind of the last time we get to kind of take a somewhat of a breath as we watch them before they go into it. Yeah. And this is also a time where you're going to start seeing a lot of people giving emails from myself and the CRPA saying these are the people they need to contact and these are the bills they need to take positions on and get people calling in, because this is where the rubber meets the road now on these remaining bills.
Understood. What is going on with St. Benitez and the stuff in front of him?
If I had a dollar for every party that asked me that question Saturday when I was on the Oak Tree speaking to some people, I would be so wealthy right now. You know, guys, I hate even asking Chuck that anymore, because he just looks at me and I'm like, yes, I know. So we're on that same boat. We just want him and a couple of the other judges to drop these decisions. We know, you know, that they had to have written them already, because, you know, cases that they were also looking at that had nothing to do with this that came in afterwards. Some of those opinions have already been released. So it any day. And I hate saying it that way, but that's what we're up against any day.
And what does he have in front of him that he's supposed to rule on?
Well, we've got named after the famous shotgun Olympian Kim Rohde, we have the Rohde case, which deals with all the ammunition restrictions from Newsom back in 2016, which is a good point. But that's 7 years that we've been fighting this. Along with that is also the Duncan case on magazines. There's the Rupp case. It is on the assault weapons. There's, I can't remember the name of it, but it's our case that is dealing with the roster. And there's about a half a dozen other cases dealing with CCW issues. And then there's literally over 15 cases right now in the hopper that are ready to be launched.
Wow.
And those are cases that right now they're getting the funding together for, and also waiting for the timing, but they don't want to release some of these until we hear what Benitez has said, along with a couple of other judges. So. That's why I said right now, this is like that time of the year that it's not fun, not that it's ever fun to be in my position or in other positions at CRPA, but this is that time where everybody's waiting to see which shoe's going to drop in which direction and know how to move. But the positive thing that I will leave everybody with is we have the resources, we have the right people in the right places, and we already have our game plans of which way we're going no matter how things drop and what sequence.
Okay.
Wow. This is an
and that takes a lot of coordination. Let me tell you, this year that has been a lot of coordination. And I've been with CRPA almost 12 years, and this staff has put in more hours around the clock, many people going 2-3 weeks without a day off, just to try to make sure everybody's rights and needs are being felt.
Wow.
You're winning.
Yeah.
I know. We're winning.
Yeah.
It's an endurance.
Little
it's
second wind there.
Yeah, nice to have this
breath. Hey, side note real quick. I was having breakfast with a couple of guys last week, and they said, thank you so much for your very clear explanation about how bills that get passed are intertwined with the budget, because that was something of which they were unaware. So you're doing some good out there, man, in addition to keeping the fools at bay.
Yeah, we're trying to educate people, and that's one of the things I want to really, you know, it always sounds weird when I do this, but Jeff, your auctions are a godsend to this movement, because it gives people hope, it gives people a place to coalesce, and it gives people a chance to keep the government's hands off of those firearms and allow them and their legacies to be passed. And the one thing I will encourage people to go out there and do an auction is I have a rifle that I absolutely adore, but when I go out, there's a famous person that owned that rifle before me, handed it down to his son-in-law, who sold it to me. And so when I go out in the woods with that rifle, I always feel like that person is with me. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the firearm, it's the ownership and the people and that legacy. And that's one of the things that has been really cool, is to watch some of the legacies that you've been able to pass on to a new generation. And
absolutely.
I don't take that lightly.
I've been telling people for as long as I've been open, you don't really own that gun. You're just the latest curator.
You're a steward. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because the gun will keep on going, well, unless Democrats get their way. But
the old joke theory, about they only have two enemies, politicians and rust.
Rust, yeah.
It's a lifetime rental.
Yeah, and the other one is, man, if only these things could talk and tell you where they've been and what they've seen.
Oh, every scratch. Yeah,
sir, we'll talk about this after Rick's section. I want to talk about this because I had a guy buy a rifle recently, and I want to talk about that exactly as you say.
Because, you know, some of the things we've seen, I mean, I've seen Japanese matchlocks from the 1600s.
Insane.
You know,
it's insanely cool.
Just some of the things, you know, Winchester number six. The 1873. Yeah, I mean, just some
it
of the
was
things
there.
That have come through. Yeah.
It was there.
It was in my house because I didn't trust leaving it at the shop. I took it home for a long time. So, until we finally sold it.
Oh yeah.
And one of the things I'll say to that too is, you know, just a chance to go down to the auction and look at some of the firearms. And, you know, I talked to Jimmy about this a couple auctions back, but, you know, you hold up one of those old Civil War muskets, for example, and you think, wow, those people were traipsing in the South in a hot, steamy summer in all wool and carrying this heavy firearm.
And
you're like,
no.
We're wimps.
Yeah, no deodorant whatsoever, no toilet paper. I mean, can you imagine you're out in the field for 2 months, you don't see the indoors.
Eating pancakes and drinking coffee, and that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe some salt pork once in a while. So that toilet paper thing?
Toilet paper? Yeah. No.
Probably not going to be needing that for a few weeks.
And the good news is, imagine how the 3,000 guys on either side of you smelled in those wool uniforms.
Oh yes. No, we are dealing with literal pieces of history throughout our auction, and we keep pushing that. And like I've written down so many of the little notes, the things I'm really looking forward to, just with history next to it, because so much of it in the auction is just full of history. Yeah.
The one, Rick, we've got an 1866 in the auction, and most 66s are in 44 rimfire, but this one is actually a factory. It's in 44. Center fire, which is not 44-40. It's not 44 Henry.
That's the conversion.
It's a conversion factory done. So
that is a historically significant fire.
Very cool gun.
And that is the trajectory. That is the evolution of firearms.
Yep.
Well, yeah. So these rolling blocks in.
Anyway, well, Rick, what are you up to this week?
Well, this week I'm hoping. What day are you going to be at the office?
I'll be there. You know me, Tuesday through Saturday.
I'll come down Tuesday and see you because I need to.
You do.
Yeah, I do. And then, the rest of the week I'm just going to be filing papers against some of the bills and making new arguments and taking consolidating a lot of stuff. So, going to be a busy week. It's just I won't be up in SAC. I'll be doing a lot of stuff from our offices down here.
Understood.
Thank you.
Okay, you get to have your stuff.
If anybody wants to join the CRPA, donate money, donate their time, how do they get a hold of you?
CRPA.org. And if they have questions, contact at CRPA.org.
Very good. Absolutely. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you very much, guys.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Thanks, Rick.
Really quick, let's get to Linda in Burbank. Nice. Linda, we only got about a minute left. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I want to say a while ago when I called in about, you know, when you talk about having getting young people in, you know, when I said that I got my niece and nephew, you know, a cap gun, I also got them videos of, you know, a John Wayne video.
Good.
Or a DVD, Roy Rogers, The Rifleman.
That's wonderful.
And The Lone Ranger.
Good.
That's great.
Did they balk because they're all in black and white?
Black and white. Yep. And
heroes with guns.
My niece was 4 years old. I was at a family gathering. There was a group of people talking about like a TV show. My niece went up and said, "Have any of you seen The Lone Ranger?"
Very good. Very
That's
good.
That's wonderful. Keep it alive.
Thank good you. On you for keeping it alive.
Absolutely. All right, Linda, appreciate the call. We got a hard break coming up with the news and everything at the bottom of the hour. Thanks for the call. We'll talk to you next time.
And keeping the ball rolling.
Yeah.
All right, this is the Gunslinger Hour right here on
KRLA.
And don't forget, call us at
866-870-5752.
And we'll be back right after this.
Yeah, we will.
Expanded the franchise.
Now that I've lost everything to you, say you want to start something new, and it's breaking my heart you're leaving. Baby, I'm grieving. But if you want to leave, take good care. Hope you got a lot of nice things to wear.
Okay, that's enough of that. Anyway, where did that song come from? That was not on my list.
Don't ask!
Great song, but not, you know, upbeat stuff.
Let it happen sometimes.
Welcome back to the Gunslinger Hour right here on KRLA! And this is a time where you guys call us at...
Yeah, it's going to be 866-870-5752.
One more time.
866-870-5752.
All right, very good.
Any way you want.
Call in and you can alter the course of this show.
Or...
We have anything because I want to talk about what Rick was talking about, the history. I had a cat come in looking for a bolt-action rifle.
Okay.
He was with his boy, who was about 8 years old.
Then this was Cat Stevens or just a...
Go ahead, sorry.
Anyway, he wanted a bolt-action rifle, and so I was showing him a handful of rifles that were in the shop that I was working at the time. And a bunch of – if you do any hunting or if you go through – skipping through the underbrush, you know that it's really good to have carbon fiber, fiberglass, those sorts of things. I mean, this stuff is – it's really rugged. It's very light. It's very durable. And I said, then we have the wood, and the wood's a little bit harder. It's getting harder to find, and it weighs a little bit more, and it's got some problems with bedding the stock and stuff like that. And he said, and it shows the scars and bumps. Yeah. And he says, I want the wood stock. And I said, absolutely, tell me why. And he said, see this young man? He says, in about 20 years, I'm going to give him this rifle. And I want to be able to look at that gouge in the stock that we got hunting elk in Colorado,
right,
or the one that we got sliding down the hillside hunting for wild boar up near Paso Robles or someplace like that. And just that rifle exactly was going to be the history. It was going to be the roadmap of their time together. Absolutely. I love that story. It still gives me chills.
Yeah.
And find the scars.
Nowadays, most bolt-action guns are coming in some kind of a synthetic stock, and it does make sense. For those that are just using it as a tool and not what you're talking about. Because, you know, you're running around and, you know, you drop You got a nice wood stock on, you know, your Weatherby, you know, Vanguard or something.
Remington 700.
Yeah. And now you've just put, oh, man, you just ruined your day.
Dinged
or,
it here.
You know, or you trip and you snap the stock in half, which has happened many times. And now you're done for the weekend. That's not going to happen with a synthetic stock. So I get that. But on the other hand, like Mark is saying, that's just really cool.
I really loved that story.
Yeah, that's a family passing down kind of a situation. Yep. So that's very cool.
On that note, because we've been talking about this history and stuff with the auction coming up, there's a lot in the auction that has that type of history in it.
And
seamless segue there, Jim.
Did you see the thing I rolled in on? Segue. But no,
it was tough getting up the stairs, but.
Next week's
going to be real hard.
But down is real quick and easy.
Oh, yeah.
I can see my car from here. No, but like we were saying, because we've held these things and we've seen the notches here, and you know that they've been through time and they've been worn, and you can almost feel that when you're holding these firearms. It takes a first-hand feel, but once you get them in hand, you kind of realize the actual weight that someone else was holding this in. Not just the physical weight of it, but the why they were doing it.
You know, or any of the military firearms.
Absolutely, like, yeah.
You know, people ask me all the time, do you collect Western guns? I really don't. I enjoy them from afar, but I don't like guns that I
can't use.
Yeah, I'm afraid to shoot. You know, you take your
metallurgy
out,
was questionable, and
and so on and so forth. But you know, your good solid Garand, I think, you just can't beat it. Or an 03 or an 03 A3.
Having a conversation with a couple of cats about a Garand, a guy had blown up a Garand, blown up the receiver and blown up the chamber. Pardon me, the receiver. He thought was still straight. Going to get it checked out. I found that conversation interesting because you mentioned a Garand. That was a tool. What did it cost to make a Garand back in the day? Like 42 bucks or something
maybe,
like that?
Yeah.
This was such a tool. And if you've seen the uses to which they were put, you're battering down doors, you're shooting the thing, of course, you're launching grenades with it. Guys are using it as a stepladder to climb over fences and stuff like that. It was an absolute beater, and you pay a premium for one that's in really, really good condition. Yeah. But the truth is, it's the beat ones that have the shway. They're the ones that have the story to tell.
Oh, yeah, you can tell.
Well, you want to hear a cool story. Arisaka. Now, this is the Japanese World War II rifle.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, you get your Type 66, your 99, and a few other variations. The most expensive one I have ever had sell through the auction, It actually went to a museum, and I want to say it sold for something like $3,400.
Oh, yeah. Big price for that gun.
A standard Arisaka is used $300 to $500. Now, here's the story.
Had the mum.
Mum was intact, the chrysanthemum.
Did it have the anti-aircraft? Tell the story. Yeah. So I want to hear the rest.
Okay. It came in the original package with shredded up Stars and Bars magazines as packing. It came from Iwo to San Francisco, and the killer, it had a bullet hole right through the stock.
I'm going to guess that's what we call politely a battlefield pickup.
Oh, yeah, battlefield pickup and
ship
home.
He wasn't using it no more.
And, yeah, I believe the New Jersey Maritime Museum is who bought that. And,
wow.
Yeah, and it went for about, I think, $3,500. It was really, really a cool piece. Everybody stopped and just, you know. Looked,
again, that's the schwa I'm talking about, though. Yeah, that's the one's got a very, very sad story,
very,
I'm pretty
very
sure.
Cool,
we
yeah.
actually, in this auction, I wrote it down here, is that I think it's an 03 that got a plaque from the Philippines,
yeah,
a bring over?
Yeah.
In the Philippines.
Yeah, it was supposedly picked up in the Bataan Death March. But we don't have anything really backing that other than the box that it's in.
That is, yeah.
Well, it's the gentleman period that, correct.
Yeah, the gentleman that brought it in, you know, I had all the paper, but and folks, a story is just that. I hear stories daily. I can't tell you how many times. Well, you know, this was owned by Wyatt Earp, and he sold it to Bat Masterson. And it's like, well, do you have any paperwork? Well, no, but my grandpa told me.
He told me.
Well,
that.
Then it's got to be true.
Yeah,
and I have Batman a picture stole of my it. Grandpa in a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah. Yeah,
on the running board of a Duesenberg.
I don't think that's going to sway much with the audience, but, you know, thanks for coming. So the things, and, you know, we get people in every day that come in, and I always have to be the bearer of bad news. Just because something's old doesn't make it valuable. It just makes it old. You know, it has to be condition, and it has to be something that somebody wants.
Just like people.
Exactly. You know, just.
Hey, you know what I wonder? You know, my grandfather is Filipino-Japanese, and he actually fought in the Japanese side of the war at the beginning, but his mother was Filipina, and he went to the Philippines and actually joined the American Army and fought for the U.S. for the rest of the war.
We're going to have to explore that story one of these
days. It's a very, very interesting one. But I wonder if, like, he that could have been one of his.
You
that
never could, know. That,
honestly.
Wow, yeah. Chills.
But, you know, I mean, the Stars and Bars all torn up, you know, as packing. That for those of you that don't know, that was the...
Military's.
Yeah, military.
House organ.
Yeah, kind of your... Reader's Digest for the GI.
Stay up to date.
Yeah, and it was just such a cool package. And then the gun with the bullet hole through the stock, you know. It was very, very cool.
Very, at least very novelty at least.
Hey, where's our phone call?
Hey, 866-870-5752.
Sorry. We'll keep talking if you don't.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and you don't just have to rely on the phone. We have the Gunslinger Hour radio show on Facebook and on Rumble. I'm checking up both feeds.
Apparently, it's working well tonight.
Wonderful.
Kevin, thanks, sir, but the rest of you?
So comment on there. If you're too afraid to call in, comment on either
too
one of those.
Too afraid to call in. Hey, what are they going to do me? What are they going to do?
Gets a little intimidated.
Don't answer my questions. I cling to my questions.
How dare you?
But, yeah. Or if you find something in the auction, maybe you want to throw out there that in the catalog. We've got it up. We can throw it around, tell you the highs and lows. How's it
going? Let's do this one.
On.
What's the coolest thing in the auction? Then I want to ask another question.
Oh, man.
So much.
We've got another 1941 Johnson. So
we've talked about Johnsons. Johnsons are cool.
With bayonet, even.
Yep.
With that wacky bayonet.
It's 90% original. I think I read it on there. Yeah.
It's not as nice as the one that we had in the last auction, but it's still.
But
a
we're
Johnson.
Back to that. It's got some little battlefield cachet, man.
The 66 that I mentioned, we've got several 73s, and of course, we always get Colt single actions, first, second, third gens.
Oh yeah,
the 02, still need one in 45.
The Colt 1902
we've
is
got,
on there.
We've got the. It's a reproduction, but it's the only reproduction I've ever seen of a Liberator. Hey. Now, the Liberator, of course, is the gun that we made here for 99 cents, stamped.
put them in a Cracker Jack box, basically, with a couple of rounds of ammunition and a little pusher stick.
Yeah, and instructions.
Cartoon instructions.
Yeah, in a few different languages, and dropped them all over Europe. And the point was to load it. It's a single shot. Sneak up behind a German, cap him, and take his gun and go fight.
This is only for trade.
Yeah, I mean, and while they cost 99 cents, now if you can find one in the box with all the stuff, yeah, they're $2,500 and up.
Yep.
So it's become quite a collectible.
So let me ask you a question. Knowing that these things were literally made out of GM Fenders, you were not wise to shoot one of the originals.
Yeah,
you
love
the
collector's
piece.
I would not.
How about what's the new one like? Is that thing made out of better steel or proof tested? It's got to be.
It looks pretty much the same, except that it's shinier because it's not 75 years old. But I don't think I would have an issue shooting it.
Okay, that's what
I don't think I do it more than once, but I would shoot.
First, it's got a recoil like a son of a
gun. Once is enough.
Because there's not much to it. And accuracy is not part of its
– well, yeah, the whole idea was to sneak up right behind the guy.
Put it against his neck or his kidney.
Yeah, so there is that, but –
that's a cool artifact, though.
Very, very cool. I've got a real one, but I don't have one in the box. I've got a real
little
one.
It was like a Cracker Jack box.
Basically, yeah, just a little cardboard box. And
some steel-cased ammunition.
And it came with a stick. That was your
literally, it's a single shot. You pull. It's a zip gun.
Yeah, basically so.
You pull this thing back. You fire the shot. The case swells inside this crudely made barrel made out of car fenders. And then you have to take the little – it came with a freaking wooden
a
dowel.
Stick, yeah.
To push the shell casing out. So, yes, the rapid reload was not in the car. But if you had gone after a sentry and missed with the first shot, my guess is there wasn't a second.
I don't think so.
I had two.
Not unless you were, Ricochet Rabbit or something.
Bing, bing, bing. Yeah. Bring it right on back.
Or you were shooting at a Star Wars stormtrooper.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
When they return fire, you got a shot.
Yeah, those guys couldn't hit the ground.
Hey, so let me ask you a question about steel-cased ammunition.
Okay.
Where are you on the issue of steel-cased ammunition?
Well, I'm not a big fan. It tends to beat up the gun. And,
it does indeed.
And are you talking about like 9mm or are you talking about shot shells?
Shot shells as an interesting thought. I was thinking rifle and pistol ammunition.
Yeah, I don't care for it. A lot of time it overswells, especially in long guns, 30-06.
Steel obviously doesn't have the same properties.
Yeah, 7.62 by 54.
Do they make steel-cased 30-06?
I've seen some. I'm trying to think of who PPU or somebody who tried it for a short time and it went away. Yeah, it went away pretty quick. You mostly will see that in 7.62 by 39 or 7.62 by 54. And 95% of the times you get two or three rounds out and your gun just says, oh, that's enough of that.
I have not used it extensively, which is why I ask. And I know they've tried all kinds of stuff because, as you said, it overextends. The metal basically kind of welds itself to the inside of the chamber as it gets hot. So they try coating it with polymer.
Which
and then
also
the polymer melts.
Yeah, and it makes your bore a little sticky.
From bad to worse.
Yeah,
tell
like,
me more.
Why did you just pour some shellac in there and have done
and
with
I got
it?
An egg. Drop this in there. Drop this egg.
Yeah, cook it and so on and so forth.
Sweet.
All right. Well, we're coming up on another commercial, and since nobody wants to talk to us, give them the number one more time.
That's going
to
be 866-870-5752.
All right. We're going
nice
to a break.
Easy.
See if you can figure out how to work your phone, and we'll be back right after this.
We'll be waiting.
Break one easy.
Feeling sad, certain kind. I feel I'm cold, way down my soul. Yeah,
I can do this all day long. Yeah,
bring it back up.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Gunslinger Hour right here on
KRLA.
Okay, in the absence of phone calls, what we're going to do is we're going to, in a muted tone with cool, clear water playing in the background, we're going to at great length explain the Dewey Decimal System.
Enjoy the sound.
You know what I think? I mean, if they're going to be silent on the phone, maybe we should just be silent on air. We'll just sit here and wait.
Let's call them.
Right? Yeah, let's that's
call
an idea.
Let's hold our breath.
Can we call out here?
I'm so hungry.
Just start calling people. Hi, the gun show. What? Yeah.
Okay, I do have one question just because you brought up the ammo thing. 7.62 by 39.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is that going out? Is that not coming? You put scarce on in the catalog for that round for this CZ model 527?
It's not the round. It's because the 527 in 7.62 by 39 is a scarce combination. Gun. Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. perfect. See, yeah. I'm just wondering. I saw that. I highlighted it. I had questions. And you got answers.
Let me tell you, I have one.
Yeah.
What a shooter.
CZ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's such a nice bolt gun. And, you know, 7.62 by 39.
Has a reputation for poor accuracy. That gun dispels it, doesn't
it?
Oh,
man, big time. You know, you'll want to put some American-made, you know, good hunting ammo in it. But as far as the gun itself, and you know what's really interesting in a bolt-action gun is that little booger's got some bite. It gets some pretty decent recoil.
Well, it's about
recoil.
The same as a 30-30, right? Ballistically,
pretty
it's a little bit more efficient.
Yeah, pretty close. And that
would make a good varmint deer
well,
rifle.
Well, you know, a loophole scope found its way onto the top of mine.
Whoops.
And I tell you what, that thing is a fantastic shooter. And it is the combo that is scarce, not the round.
Okay, so you know what? If I was looking at the catalog and I saw that bad boy, I was like, "What?
You know
what we did?
Yeah. What
round
we did,
is anything but scarce."
Jason come up with an idea at the shop, and we've got a monitor up on the wall that just constantly plays pictures of guns that are in the upcoming auction now.
Rotates them through.
Yeah, how cool is that?
That's very good, Jason.
Hey, Jason, I miss you, man.
Good job.
Yeah. I got to come down to the shop.
Very good. Hey, you know what? Our phones are finally ringing.
Let's go
to this is our pal Brent in L.A. How are you?
Hello, great gentlemanly gunslinger.
There he is.
That's us. What can we do for you tonight?
Well, just, you know, following the events of the world, I was thinking a business opportunity. Since Bush is redefining its beer with rainbows, and Reebok is redefining its women's swimsuits with rainbows, and now Ford apparently is redefining Tough with its new very gay Rainbow Raptor. I don't know if you've heard about that.
No.
I was just wondering if we can start rethinking and conchinging guns with rainbows. We can start, how about producing rainbow assault rifles?
Hey, you know what? I mean, if it gets excrement to back off, why not?
I hate to say it, but that would be good for market penetration.
Oh.
You know what? I don't think you need to tempt them that bad. I think they need the protection just as bad. And I wonder if those swimsuits come with an extra pocket, if you know what I mean. How they're making these, how swimming's going these days.
I tell you, I wonder if that – I mean, you know, they do make – they make pink ARs and,
sure
and blue ARs and so on and so forth. So I don't know. I don't see why you couldn't do that if you wanted,
I suppose.
And
you know what? A lot of people customize their guns anyway. I'm pretty sure there's a few of them out there already.
That's it.
You know, because I don't know if that means nobody's going to buy your guns or if now you're going to have $10 million worth of free advertising nationwide.
Where does your fan base go from there, right?
You know – when are these people going to wake up to the fact that when you go woke, you go broke? It just happens over and over, and these people are just like lemmings. You know, oh, look, they went bust doing this. I better do it too.
We'll do it better.
Yeah.
I read an article, was it Forbes or Wall Street Journal, about how the Bud Light controversy wasn't that they had done something wrong. It's that they had rolled it out wrong.
Yep.
They just simply did not present that correctly. And all these people are going to the same colleges.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to the same business school. They're receiving the same indoctrination.
And they all believe socialism and communism work out. And, you know, the other guys, they just did it wrong. We'll do it the right way. It's democratic socialism. Okay, that just means it's going to fail twice.
You're a musician. You know, man. You play the house.
Yeah.
Play the house.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I just think, unfortunately, you're at the disadvantage of you're attempting to make a profit. I have a feeling with most of these major multinational corporations, they actually have a plan to run their companies onto reefs. And so everybody's thinking, how can they be so stupid? From the CCP's perspective, this is wonderful. This is what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's always the too big to fail, so maybe the government will come bail us out, too. Just throw another couple bill at it.
Yeah.
Right, just print up a few of those hundos.
They can't seem to do the debt ceiling, and so Biden's idea is to raise taxes. And yet, how many more millions are we sending to the Ukraine?
Sometimes when you're so forward-thinking, you don't see the cliff.
Yeah. There you go. Hey, Brent, you know what? Our phone lines are now blowing up, so I got a few more calls to take. Thanks for the call. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to Sean over in Covina. Sean, what can we do for you?
Evening.
Well, I'd like to say probably one of the best pump-action shotguns, I would like to say, is the Remington Wingmaster.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I would say it's probably the best.
I would say anyone, if they could, save as much money as they can, try and go to one of your auctions and get one, but avoid the Remington Express, because I remember looking at those at 2012, plastic trigger guards, poor fit and finish.
Yep.
You know, if you're going to get a shotgun, sometimes you have to spend more to actually have something good.
Well, one thing I've been telling people for 25 years, in firearms, you truly get what you pay for.
It's an investment.
Yeah.
The Express got such a bad reputation for substandard fit and quality that they actually pulled it off the market. They have reissued it in hopefully a better form. But you're absolutely right. You get what you pay for. You get a Wingmaster. You won't live long enough to break it.
Yeah. No.
And you could put parts from the 1950s Remington 870 into that gun. It'll still work.
They got that
recipe right.
Yeah, they do.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Out of curiosity, any Wingmasters in your auction?
Oh, yeah, several. In fact, not only Wingmasters, but one of my other favorite shotguns of all time is the Winchester Model 12, and we've got several of those. And Model 42s. I think we have four or five of those, which is basically the Model 12 in 410, which is my absolute favorite shotgun to shoot.
You're a better shot than I am.
As Smoke Parnell always said, a 410 is a meat getter.
That's a good meat getter, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, Sean, thanks for the call.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that special.
Well, let's jump to Howard over in L.A. And Howard, what can we do for you?
You were talking about steel cases. I had I shot and reloaded some steel for .45, and they worked just fine.
Good.
But they'd probably fracture at the mouth of the case. And then they're junk.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And what we were kind of talking about, well, not so much pistol, but long gun because of the pressures being so much more. But what steel? Were they aluminum like the Blazers, or were they?
Oh, this was old stuff.
Okay,
like World War II era?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Yeah.
When they were using the copper for either the that's when they were using silver for the magnets that Oak Ridge.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
Also, the powders that they were you were talking about at the beginning of the show, the flakes, the granules, and the ball
spherical,
measure accurately through the powder throws, and the IMR rod powders shake the whole loading table when the powder throw cuts through the rods. And I was using Accurate 2520. It's in the machine. I don't remember the load, but it loaded accurately. Mm-hmm. But I had to shoot at I had to reduce the velocities down to around 2,700 feet per second for my Garand.
Yeah.
To get accuracy, otherwise I'd get like a 200. If it was higher than that velocity, the powder'd go nuts.
Yeah, understood.
Yep. That's insider trading right there. That's part of the fun of reloading, is that you can tailor a load for a firearm.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I got a good load for you guys if you for your 45-70s, the stronger actions. You get a cast the Lyman. I think it's a 457-124 gas check, and 45 and a half grains of 30-31. I put that through the conversion I did to a Siamese Mauser.
Oh boy! Yeah.
And after I got my my guts back after being really banged by the recoil.
Oh yeah.
I said, okay, you can only shoot this while you're standing, because the sitting is still pounding you.
What kind of velocity were you getting?
Yeah. So I shot the best group I'd ever shot up until that time offhand with that. You know, it was a one-inch group.
Very
at 100 yards offhand.
That's pretty good.
Using a sling count.
The,
okay,
the freaking
Howard, I still have, we have less than 2 minutes. We got to go. Thanks for the call.
Absolutely. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, let's get to Rocco in Santa. It just says Santa. So this is Rocco Santa. Rocco, what can we do for you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling up about the steel cased ammo also. I've shot a lot of tall ammo. I mean, I don't know, a lot. 100 rounds at a time through an SKS.
Mm-hmm.
I've got, you know, I've got the removable mags. The SKS is set up with the mags that are removable because that's a lot easier. Yeah.
And a lot of illegal in California, so don't be talking about that.
You know, don't tell me about that. over on the 15,
Phoenix?
We go out there with BLM land, and we don't worry about it.
Well, okay, good
but,
enough.
Nobody bugs us. But anyway, that's beside the point. Mm-hmm. But I've shot a lot through it, and hey, the barrel gets warm. You let the barrel cool,
mm-hmm.
and you know, 100 rounds at a time, and let the barrel cool a little bit. Let it then shoot it again. It's not bad. It hasn't done anything yet.
Nope.
I've only shot maybe 500 to 1,000 through.
Well, consider yourself lucky, because unfortunately, a lot of my customers have had the exact opposite thing happen. But anyway, Rocco, we're coming up on the end of the show. We got to go.
Thanks
for the call. I got to apologize to Rob in L.A., Steve in Downey.
Call us next week.
Yeah, we
call earlier, please.
We got Rob, Steve. Yeah, call a little earlier next week, and we'll get to you guys.
We'll get you in.
Okay, next Sunday, folks, we're going to be here live, but next Sunday, 9 a.m., go to gunslingerauctions.com, take a look at my catalog, bid strong, bid long, be proud of your purchase.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get you an 870.
Get an 870. This has been the Gunslinger Hour. I want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll see you guys next week, and I'll be horse as hell.
Thanks, Ken. Love you.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.